reflecting on the ultimate sacrifice made at the cross for our salvation. I think a few of us, if not a lot of us, have this question pop into our minds every now and then. Why is it called Good Friday? The truth is, we cannot afford to sanitize the death of Christ because it was brutal. It was murder in broad daylight. He did not die peacefully in his sleep. So what is so good about it? It's Good Friday because something significant happened that would change the relationship between God and man, that would change the course of history. It's good because the death of Jesus Christ on the cross was a fulfillment of a promise to bring salvation to the world. And he could not rise from the dead and demonstrate victory over death without first dying. No death, no resurrection, right? So let us look at the journey to the cross, the journey to his cross. You know, sometimes we can get fixated on this idea that Jesus Christ died on the cross or on a cross, and that is why he's special to us. But that's only part of the story. It's not just about the fact that he died on a cross. Because this method of death was not unique to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many families and friends had to watch as their family member died on the cross. According to some historians, crucifixion was most frequently used to punish political or religious agitators, pirates, slaves, or those who had no civil rights. So it was not unique to the Lord Jesus Christ. And a brief summary of the Lord's crucifixion according to the Gospels. You see, the Gospels highlight that he was whipped. He was mocked by the Roman soldiers as the king of the Jews. They clothed him in purple robe and put a crown of thorns on his head and led him to Mount Calvary. And we know that he got help from one Simon of Cyrene, helped him carry the cross because it got too much. At the place of execution, the Lord was stripped naked. He was nailed to the cross. And there was that inscription stating his crime. And it was considered a crime that he professed to be king of the Jews. Whenever there was a crucifixion, there would be an inscription at the top so that people would know why that person was being crucified. And for the Lord, it was King of the Jews. And while in excruciating pain on the cross, the soldiers divided his clothing and they cast lots for his robe. Onlookers taunted him. There were two convicted criminals on either side. And when the soldiers found Jesus already dead, just to double check, they drove a spear into his side, from which poured blood and water. So what was so different about this crucifixion? I believe the answers lie partly in what I call contradictions of his cross. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 23, verse 13 to 24. It says, Pilate called together the chief priests. Now, Pilate was the governor of the region of Judea at the time. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time, he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. You see, his cross was different because everything about it was a contradiction. First contradiction, it says that Pontius Pilate, on the one hand, he says, "I have examined him, have found no basis for your charges." And then on the other hand, it says, "I will punish him and then release him." The second contradiction, "Away with this man, release Barabbas to us." But then on the other hand, we hear that Barabbas was charged with murder, yet they wanted to release him. Third contradiction, it says, wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them. And then on the other hand, it says, Pilate decided to grant their demand. Contradiction after contradiction. The greatest contradiction, though, is that if today, 2024, someone was to murder someone in broad daylight, this place would be so busy with sirens and police. Someone would be in handcuffs. A few people would be in handcuffs. A court date would be set. And a trial would begin. And they would most likely get life in prison. Or ironically, they would get the death sentence. Those Roman soldiers and his accusers got neither. The world, you and I, got neither. Instead, what we got was, "It is finished." Instead, we get, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Another thing that was so different about this crucifixion was that it was actually all part of God's plan. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us." And then Romans 5:18 says, "Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people." You know, when I was about 15 or 16, back in my home country in Botswana, I played a part in a play where I was part of the crowd that shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" I admit it was easier to do because I was covered in makeup and I was playing a part. I was in a way one step removed from the reality of what was being portrayed. Apart from the contradictions, we have to consider that the world we're living in right now is in chaos. There's wars, there's poverty, there's genocide, there's injustice, there's drugs, there's human trafficking. The list is endless. And we tend to turn a blind eye. Why? Because it's too confronting. It's too hard. Sometimes we feel it's none of my business. Sometimes we think, "What a shame," while we continue on with our lives. And for some, it might be, I wasn't there. Therefore, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. And sometimes that's how we look at the cross. One step removed. For as long as we keep our distance from what happened to the Lord Jesus and don't wish to take a proper look or take any responsibility for our part, even though we were not there, as the world that he died for, we will never fully appreciate the meaning of the cross, his cross, for our lives. The sacrifice was necessary to turn the world back to God's original plan. It was a sacrifice because it was Jesus Christ, the man who hung on that cross, the man that endured the whipping and the abuse. It was the man that suffered and was afflicted. He sacrificed his divinity, his reputation, his authority. He did not on that cross draw on him being the Son of God to escape the punishment for the sin of the world. So I believe we all have to ask ourselves, what will my response to his cross be? You know, one of my favorite songs by someone called Philip Thompson is My Response. And he says, the words are, you have rescued my life and I'm never turning back. You have rescued my life, you're my redeemer. Hallelujah. So my response is hallelujah, meaning God be praised. In gratitude, I rejoice. My response is acceptance that motivated by love, he did it all for me. John 15 verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. My response is that I don't get to look away. You don't get to look away. We take our place. We take responsibility and we walk our path. I'm going to get you guys to stand up. We're keeping it really short today because I've got a few things to do. You know, many of us have made a decision to walk with Christ at some point in our lives, but there are probably some who've never done that. Or if you have, maybe life happened and you walked away. So I just want to give people an opportunity. With every eye closed, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So I'm just going to get you to just pray with me. It says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. So let's just pray. Please pray after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for the blood that was shed for my sins. Please forgive me. I know that I am a sinner. Come into my life and take over. In Jesus' name. Still with your eyes closed, if there's anyone here, you prayed that prayer for the very first time, could you please raise your hand where I can see you? You prayed that prayer for the first time. Thank you, thank you. I just want to pray for you some more. Would you be okay to come so I can pray for the two of you? Please, let's give them a hand. This is a bold, courageous step that they're taking. Church, let's just please come closer here. Let's just pray for these guys. Just stretch your hand and pray, because this decision is a bold decision that's going to change the course of history for this family. Did you say he was your son? Yes. This is mother and son. How incredible. Generations. So let's just pray. Father, I just thank you. Please remind me your name. Sandra and Vinny. Thank you for Sandra and Vinny, Lord. I thank you that this is not a surprise to you that they're here. That, Father, you have a plan and a purpose for their family, Lord. I thank you for their courage and their boldness, Lord, to raise their hands in public and say, I want to accept Jesus into my life. Father, I pray that even this week they will see, Lord, that you are real. I pray, Father, that you would just this week open up their eyes more and more to who you are. Bless them, bless their family, Lord, and I pray for protection over them, Lord. What a marvelous decision to make on Good Friday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please, let's give them a hand. Someone will come and see you and give you something to read, some reading material. Thank you so much. It says that angels celebrate when people give their lives to Christ. And so right now there's a celebration happening. So what we're going to do now, we're going to come around the communion table. So what I'd like us to do is, if we can just come round, you know, with our rows without bumping into each other, just grab your communion, grab some bread, grab the cup, have a seat. Don't take the communion yet. Once you've grabbed it, we're going to then watch a video. And then when the video's finished, we will go through the communion and then finish the service. So please come and get the communion and then take a seat.
When they saw him, his face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. Many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. He will startle many nations, and kings will stand speechless in his presence. My servant grew up in the Lord's presence, like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows. Despised and rejected, a man of sorrows.
Matthew 26:26-28. 26 says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Please, let's take the bread. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Please let us drink. Just like us to take a few moments, just you and God, just reflect on what the cross means to you as an individual. So just observe a few moments of silence as we reflect. Please, let's stand. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory